Hallelujah. The Bible said that his name should be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. How we do love our Lord Jesus this morning. Hallelujah. We thank God for him. We thank God for the children who have come out this morning. We thank you for everything that has taken place in the service. We thank God for the prayer, for the music, for all the praises that have gone up, for our hearts have been really moved. And we ask the Lord that he will continue to allow his spirit to move in our midst this morning. This morning we have somewhat of a fairly serious message, although it will probably be brief. It is very serious because we all need to come to the understanding of, first of all, what price God has paid for our souls and what he requires that we do in response to him. We are all fond of going out to the best restaurants and eating the best food. And when we get an opportunity to go and dine in a nice, fancy place, we're looking to receive a fancy meal because the price that we pay for a good meal is far more than the price that we pay in McDonald's. Isn't that right? We're talking about getting our money's worth. Hallelujah. And we find that when we pay, we have certain expectations. Hallelujah. We know that God has purchased us with a price. The Bible says that we are purchased with a price. Know ye not that you are not your own, but you have been purchased with a price. Hallelujah. And he has bought us and redeemed us out of the world with the blood of his son Jesus, with the suffering of Calvary, with great tears and with great pain, he bought us. And so he has the right to say to you and me, you are not your own, because we have been bought with a price. Just like when we go to eat a meal and we pay a good price, we are looking for a good result. We're looking for the best that there is. When God purchased you and I with the blood of his son Jesus, the price was superior to all that anyone could pay. He gave all that he had. It was his only begotten son. And it says that he did this because he loves us. Say, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But he gave his son for a reason, that whomsoever should believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Therefore, when God bought you and when he bought me, he had expectations because of the great price that he paid. He paid a price that was sufficient to keep you and I from perishing along with the world. How many are willing to allow the price that you were bought with to have its fullest effect in your life? God wants the blood of Jesus to have its full effect in your life. There's nothing worse, I believe, than paying for a good meal and being served leftovers. Leftovers. Are we giving God what he is expecting to receive from us? He paid the great price, but is he getting the meal that he ordered? Are we giving him our best, or are we giving him the leftovers? God wants, in all cases, from you and I, the very best in response to the very best that he paid for our souls. That means I must endeavor to make my life a life that is committed, first of all, to serving the Lord who died for me. He cannot be my second love in life. He must be my first. He cannot be my second choice. He must be my first. I cannot please him when I only give him what is left of my life once I have expended it and spent it on the things of the world. I cannot expect to offer up to him the leftovers of my life, but I need to give him the first fruits of my life because he paid the price. For me, in the book of Exodus, beginning at chapter 13, we find that God has delivered his people out of the land of Egypt, and they have gone through, hallelujah, 400 years of being enslaved. But God has purchased freedom for them, and he's letting them know in this chapter what he expects from them because of what he has paid for them. Hallelujah. They have experienced 7 plagues in the land where they have seen their adversaries overwhelmed, trodden down, killed, but they have been spared. He has been kind to his people. He has set them free. And he has expectations of them. You know, when God sets you free, when he delivers you out of bondage, he's expecting you to live like somebody that's free. You're no longer to live like a slave once you're free. Hallelujah. Chapter 13 begins This way, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, sanctify unto me all the firstborn. Whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. Now, he says, the firstborn, both of man and of beast, no matter what it is, he says, it is mine. Because he has done so much for you and for me, it behooves you and it behooves me to remember that when I am blessed, when I come out of the land of poverty, when I see the end to my disparity, when I see my life as having a bright future, when I get to the place where my life is working for me like I need for it to work for me, when I am prospered, no matter how I'm being prospered, that the first fruits of my life belong to God. It is not mine. We find that he goes on later on in the scripture to tell them when the harvest comes in that there's to be a waving of the first fruits. God is not cutting it short here. He's making it plain that the first belongs to him. The first child that is born to you, he says, give it to me. I want him. He's sanctified, set apart unto me. But how many of us dedicate first anything unto God? And so we find that he wants the first. But very often, you and I are not willing to give him the first. We are trying to give him the last. You remember in the book of Genesis, the first offering that's recorded, which represents the first religious acts recorded in the world, where Cain and Abel, two brothers, began to worship God with their substance. And the Bible says that Cain made an offering unto the Lord, and God was not pleased. But it says Abel offered up the firstlings of the flock. The key here, some believe, is what was offered. But today, I want you to know that it's not what was offered, but which part of the sacrifice that was offered. It says of Abel that he offered the first. Hallelujah. The firstlings of the flock. He gave God his best, and he didn't wait to give God his best after he had tested out and taken for himself, but he gave God his best straight from the top. And I'm saying to all of us this morning that we need to learn to give God off of the top of what we have. There's nothing worse than getting in. I know some of you remember, I never was much of a gambler. I never was much of a card player. But I know that it's not good when they start dealing from the bottom of the deck. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give God your very best and learn to deal from the top. As soon as you receive, give God what he
is due. And Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. This day came ye out in the month of Abib. Now God is just talking to his people, reminding them. He's telling Moses, remind them that it was by my strong hand that you were delivered. I want to remind you today that it was by the strong hand of God and by the great sacrifice of Jesus, the Son of God, that you have a salvation that is so great and far superior to the salvation that Moses had to offer his people. You know that in that Old Testament, the ordinances that were given were those that had to be repeated over and over and over and over again because they were temporary. But God now has made it possible because his Son, Jesus, died once and for all, that he's not going to die again. And the sacrifice that was made for you was an eternal sacrifice. And therefore, you don't have to worry about it being weak in any way. It's strong enough. It's long-lasting enough to cover you for all of the rest of your life and through all of eternity. And if that's not enough to excite you, I don't know what will excite you. You know that your sins have been forgiven. And we need to act like we appreciate what God has done for us. If we understand the magnitude of what has been done for us, we will not deal from the bottom of the deck. We will not give God our leftovers, but we will give God our best. We all say, well, tomorrow I'm going to straighten up. Tomorrow I'm going to do what's right. But you might not live till tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. And today is the day that God is asking you for your best. Today is the day that God wants you to stand up and be counted amongst those who will say, I love the Lord Jesus Christ, because he gave Jesus to save you from all of your sins. He wants and expects for you that when you accept him, that you will then have a change of heart and a change of mind to give God that which he desires from you. He has paid the price. It's a costly meal. Serve him what he has paid for. Give him what he has purchased. None of us will be happy if we go into one of the high fashion stores and pay big money for the latest designer clothes and then get home and find out that it came from Sears. You wouldn't be happy because you paid a high price. God has paid the ultimate price, and he wants and needs an ultimate and high response from you and I. If we are grateful for what God has done in our lives, we should be willing then to say to him, Lord, I give you my best. Lord, I give you my life. I give you all of my desires. I give you my praises. I give you my song. I give you my time. I give you my devotion. It all belongs to you because you paid the price for me. I don't deserve even my own life anymore. You purchased my life with the blood of Jesus. My life belongs to you. Lord, I freely give it to you. I thank you so much for saving me out of this untoward world and this untoward generation. I thank you. I understand and I appreciate how much pain it must have cost the Lord to die on Calvary for me, because I remember what the scripture has said unto me, because I know that he loves me, I will not fail to give him my very best. I will not deal from the bottom of the deck. I will not offer offerings after I have enjoyed my life. I will bring into him all of the tithes into the storehouse. I will not just sling a little offering at the end of my expenditures, but I will give God what he deserves. Too many of us are dealing from the bottom of the deck financially. We're not giving God what he needs. We're not giving him what he deserves. We're still dealing from the bottom of the deck after we pay Susie and Mary and Bobby and Bill. Then we say, okay, now I got a little leftover here. It's not quite what God wants, but I'm going to sling it at him anyway. That's not what he wants. He wants you to confront him with every issue in life from the very beginning. Give him from the top. Deal from the top, not the bottom. And when we start dealing from the bottom, it seems like life starts falling apart. So I urge, and I'm so glad so many young people are here this morning, because I can tell you at a very early age, if you don't want to be poor forever, begin right now in your life giving to God. Because when you give to him, he will take care of everything that comes up in your life. It sounds like something that's impossible, but it is his way. I have found in my life that when I take care of God's business, God takes care of my business. Hallelujah. When I'm in trouble, he knows it. And then I find that before I ask him, he answers. He knows every situation that comes up in my life. I find that I'm blessed immensely because I put God first. Hallelujah. This day came ye out of the land of Egypt. Egypt is a symbol of the world. The day that God saved your soul. The day that Jesus became real in your life is the day that he saved you out of the world, which we call Egypt. And if you have been saved out of the world, there is no need then for you to act as though you are still in the world. The Bible says that if anyone puts his shoulder to the plow and keeps looking back, he is not fit for the kingdom of God. So once you enter into the kingdom of God, don't be interested in looking back. You remember what happened with Lot and his family as God sent the angels in to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and he gave Lot and his family a clear route of escape, but his wife looked back. You can't afford to look back. God says when you come out, don't look back. Guess why he said don't look back? Because you're not missing anything. When you come out of that drug world, don't look back. When you come out of that drunken stupor, don't look back. When you come out of that world of pornography, don't look back. Because there's nothing back there but death. And I say to everyone here this morning, begin to look forward. Don't look back and try not even to remember the things that conquered you in the past. Because those things that conquered you in the past, if you trust in Jesus, they cannot conquer you today and they will not conquer you tomorrow. Because the Bible says this here, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You are no longer in bondage, but you have been brought into the land of promise. You have come out from the world. You have come out from bondage. You now can do things that you previously could not do. By faith, you have the power to overcome and to rule those things which once ruled over you. There is no power on earth that can overcome you, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap this morning. We need to come to the place where we understand that we can do. Some of us are just hanging around in the past talking about the power of the enemy and how weak we are and how insufficient we are. But we are not weak and we are not insufficient, because the scripture tells us, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Hallelujah. I'm no longer crippled. I'm no longer bound. I'm no longer helpless. I'm no longer in the state where I can't make good decisions. I can make good decisions because I'm no longer afraid to make good decisions. Sometimes we see an opportunity come, but the spirit of fear is upon us so strong that we are afraid to move forward. But God says, I have not given you the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And with that power and with the love and with a sound mind, you will move forward in this life, and your life will be a testimony to the glory of God. God wants to do something in your life today. All you have to do is give him permission to come in and rule in your life the way he wants to rule in your life. He has paid the price. Will you accept the price that he has paid and allow him to do his work in your life? Because his work will be a great work in your life. Hallelujah. Don't say that it can't be done. All things are possible to them who believe, to them that believe, to him that believeth. If you believe, anything is possible for you. Hallelujah. We talked last week about mustard seed faith. Hallelujah. It takes faith that sees the end from the beginning. We talked about mustard seed faith, and we talked about how that mustard seed is a small seed. And we also acknowledge that it's not necessarily the size of the seed, but it is the configuration or the destiny of that seed, the pattern that has already been envisioned in that seed that makes it great. It doesn't matter how big or how small the seed is. The question is, what kind of seed is it? The mold, we said, has already been cast. This little seed will make a giant shrub. Why? Because the image of the shrub is in the seed. And that seed of faith in Christ can make you a giant. Why? Because in that seed is the image of Christ and the image of the Almighty. And when you plant that seed in your life, there's nothing else that can grow except Christ and God the Father. By the power of the Holy Spirit. It takes faith to put God first. because things challenge you in your mind. Voices speak to you, and they try to discourage you from doing what's right. If you will by faith say in your heart, I will do the will of God today. I will not allow the enemy to trick me. By faith, I stand on the word of God, and by faith, I live a life today that is pleasing unto God. By faith, I put my craft down. By faith, I put my desires away, and by faith, I take up the cause of Christ in my life. And by faith, I allow Jesus to rule me by his Holy Spirit. That's all by faith. And when I do that, I prove that I'm dealing from the top of the deck. I am giving him my best, my first. And whatever else happens, we're not worried about. But as long as I give him my best and not my last, my best and not my worst, my best meal and not my leftovers, my best thoughts and not my sinful desires, my holy conversation and not my street talk. When I give it to the Lord, he is able to change me forever. God wants from you and I our very best. He paid for the very best in you. He paid for the very best in me. I've got to give him what he paid for. Somebody say, I'm giving him what he paid for. Come on, I ain't hear that. I'm not sure I believe you. Let's say that again. Let's try one more time.
I'm giving him what he paid for.
All right. God bless you this morning.